Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, June 25th, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Temporary Moves. Roof damage rain forces department to Voorhees location. And there's a picture of the roof issues. And recent heavy rain events have forced the city of Danville to move its legal and inspector's offices for City Hall to the Public Works building on Voorhees Street. And there's a picture of Ricky Williams Jr. here also. And this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A few offices within the Danville City Hall have been relocated because of storm-related roof damage. During the Public Works meeting on Tuesday, decisions were made to move the legal and inspector's offices temporarily to the Danville Public Works building at 1155 East Voorhees Street. The controller and the account specialist offices have been moved to an office on the first floor of the City Hall. We don't know exactly how long it will take. We have put out a bid for the roof, Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said. We've requested emergency proposals for the roof. Williams said the issues with the roof were going on before he became mayor in 2018, prior to Vermilion Advantage moving out of the city building. There's water infiltration in the west wall in both the controller and also our reconciler's office. To make a long story short, in order to make sure that we keep people safe, we need to remediate the situation, Williams said. Williams added the city should be receiving another bid soon. They're going to move some things around for us to be able to fix the roof, but it will likely take 4 to 6 weeks before they're able to get here, Williams added. Once they're here, it will take them approximately a week to actually complete the roof. We will, once everything is done, do another cleaning upstairs and also another air assessment just to be sure that we have remediated all the mold appropriately and to keep our team members safe. Ward 7 Alderman Doug Ahrens asked the mayor if the assessors had looked at the elevators around the utility penetrations. I mean, that was previously, at least that was one of the biggest factors that we were seeking, Ahrens said. Williams said they have looked into it and it's at a point where it can no longer be repaired, and that's why it has to be replaced. It will not cost us to have loose HVAC, so we'll be able to, unless something crazy happens, we'll be able to continue providing service to the citizens overall as expected. This move comes after torrential downpours of rain earlier this month left the city and surrounding areas dealing with several inches of water in a short amount of time. Ward 5 Alderman Eve Ludwig asked about the offices moving during their June 9th meeting. She said Ward 3 Alderman Vice Chair Sharon Pickering were concerned by what they saw. The things we saw, the roof caving in areas, tiles just curved from from water damage, legal files that had been damaged from water, and then the videos of the servers in it that were saved, Ludwig said. I'm concerned about the potential damage of what potential damage could happen next time we have rain come in, and what if somebody's not there to protect the servers. At that time, David Rue, Public Works Director, said they had put in place a temporary preventative measures to prevent damage. Ward 1 Alderman Ed Butler, who asked during the June 9th meeting of if the building is even worth fixing, it's because our employees are living in or working in a hazardous condition, Butler said. So we don't actually know when we're moving out of this building. The city of Danville purchased the old National Bank building located at 2 West Main Street in 2024 for the intended purpose of someday moving City Hall across the street. Next story is titled New Leadership Team Announced for VACVC. And there's a picture of a Mackenzie Ellis White and a Troy Streben. And this is from a staff reporter in Danville. The Veterans Assistance Commission of Vermilion County, known as VACVC announced the appointment of Troy Streben as superintendent and David Brown as assistant superintendent on Tuesday. According to a release, the additions of Streben and Brown is an exciting new chapter in the organization's continued commitment to serving the veterans and families of Vermilion County. The commission would also like to express its sincere appreciation to Brandon Schweizer for his dedicated service as interim superintendent. During a period of transition, Schweizer provided steady leadership, professionalism, and a veteran-centered focus that helped position the commission for future success. Brendan stepped into a challenging role and served our veterans with integrity and commitment, said Mackenzie Ellis-White, the VACVC board president. We are grateful for his leadership and the foundation that he helped establish as we move forward. The new leadership team brings decades of military service, community involvement, and veteran advocacy experience to the commission. Streben, a retired United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, brings 20 years of active duty military service and a longstanding dedication to veterans throughout Vermilion County. A resident of Westville, Streben has spent more than a decade serving local veterans through the American Legion, including leadership roles as commander, executive board member, and adjutant of Post 51. He currently serves Vermilion County in a public-facing benefits and eligibility role, providing valuable administrative experience and direct knowledge of the challenges faced by local families. Joining him as assistant superintendent is Brown, a retired United States Marine Corps veteran with more than 21 years of military service. Throughout his career, David developed extensive expertise in leadership, operations, management, veteran advocacy, and public service. His passion for helping veterans navigate available resources aligns closely with the Commission's mission. The VACVC also announced that, and I have to change pages, sorry, give me a second here. Sabrina Kelly will transition from her role as assistant superintendent to serve as veteran service officer, known as VSO. A 7-year Army veteran, Kelly has been important part of the commission's work and will continue serving veterans directly through benefits assistance and advocacy. Her military background, community leadership, and ongoing volunteer efforts throughout Vermilion County make her a valued member of the team. We are confident that this team brings the experience, character, and dedication necessary to strengthen services for veterans throughout our county, Ellis White said. The future of the Veterans Assistance Commission is bright, and we remain committed to honoring the service of our veterans by providing the highest level of support possible. The release adds the VACVC board has intentionally focused on building a team with strong military experience, proven leadership ability, and a shared commitment to delivering exceptional service. This investment reflects the Commission's ongoing mission to ensure every veteran and family in Vermilion County receives compassionate assistance, knowledgeable guidance, and timely access to benefits and resources. The Veterans Assistance Commission of Vermilion County is located at 123 North Hazel Street in Danville. Their hours of operation are 9 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. For more information, phone 217-554-7950. Next story is titled 2050 Plan Presented to Danville, and this again is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A draft of comprehensive 2050 plan for Danville was discussed Tuesday at the Public Works meeting. Leaders say it will set the direction on how Danville will grow over the next 20 to 25 years. After a year and a half of tedious work and almost one entire rewrite of this plan, we are prepared to present to the City Council the draft form, said Logan Kronk, the Community Development Administrator for the city. This is hopefully as close as it's going to get to its final version, version before adoption. The plan here is to bring it first to the Public Service Committee, then to the Public Works Planning and Zoning for recommendation, and then to the City Council. David Sidney with Place Foundry presented the 90-page document with more than 600 public comments, influencing the plan from dozens of public meetings with Sean Agger, also from Place Foundry. We realized, you know, we couldn't just update your 2006 plan, Sidney said. Several of you completed surveys online, and so that's really crucial, foundational to this plan. We wanted to make sure that we listened and we heard. Yes, we're bringing some recommendations, but there's a lot that is really good happening here. Sidney says the city needs to continue looking for ways to retain businesses, but spoke highly of small businesses. Your small business growth and your smaller manufacturers can be critical to your growth, Sidney said. It may be 140 jobs, but 140 jobs, 140 medium, high-skilled jobs, if multiplied, so you start to build the whole ecosystem. And that's what attracts investment. Sidney says city officials must focus on getting out Danville's story. Tell your story, I heard consistently throughout the process to say, you tell your story or I'll tell your story or someone else will tell your story, Sidney said. You're a city with more to offer than it sometimes believes about itself. World-class manufacturers, exceptional park system, community college with, and I have to change pages again, sorry, with nationally recognized skills, architectural heritage that no amount of money can duplicate, and genuine community relationships that larger cities spend fortunes to find trying to build. Danville's area of recreation was brought up as an economic driver. Continue to invest everywhere, but we're saying turn your parks and recs into an economic driver, Sidney said. Sidney added many times that he hears nothing is really happening in the first decade, but says to look no further than Rockford, where his company is based, for the changes. As I told the team here, any announcements that you're seeing in Rockford, that's because of the first decade of significant strategy alignment happening. Then that fourth phase where we're saying this plan, we're going to get you to national recognition, Sidney said. Candidates for mayor, Alderman Tricia Teague and Doug Ahrens, both asked questions about the plan. Ahrens focused on the land area and the population losses in Danville. It's hard for me to understand how a plan is to continue to try to support infrastructure that is built for 2 to 3 times our size over the long term, he said. From an affordability factor, obviously, some of these goals are going to require reassigning and reallocating the prioritization and the dollars. But in the end, there's still not enough, so I'm wondering how the plan is to address that. Sidney told Ahrens and the rest of the committee that the downtown area is an area of investments. There are just parcels that will never go back to residential, and that's where I say the land bank strategy can help in terms of holding for some other future use, Sidney said. The comprehensive plan is for the entire community on a broad level, pulling from existing plans and making sure their zoning support is in legal compliance, Sidney added. Ahrens asked, was there any prioritization either communicated from the community or within the plan to establish how much more important public safety is than parks and recreation? How much more important is housing versus the other? Because ultimately that's the decisions that will drive where the finances go. Sidney said they have received a lot of feedback. Alderman Ed Butler asked why Sidney to compare the city of Danville to Champaign and Rantoul as far as parks go. I mean, that's what Rantoul and Champaign was doing, and you know that it is bringing revenue within those cities, because even our teams go over there to that new sports complex, Butler said about the Rantoul family sports complex. I didn't see anything in this strategic plan for us to deal with any of that in Danville, and I don't know if we got land for it. Sydney says the plan highlights sports tourism as a way to create economic benefits. I just highlighted a few, and then the sports tourism that is actually one category that we introduced in this plan around sports tourism on Sit Lynch Road, but also, you know, capturing your existing facilities as well, Sydney said. We do have that land use category in this plan that's really, you know, critical. Danville does have a number of recreation areas, including Kickapoo State Park, Kickapoo Rail Trail, and Kennecott County Park. There are also seven neighborhood parks along with Ellsworth Park, Lincoln Park, and Winter Park. Additionally, Danville offers Harrison Park Clubhouse and Golf Course, the Aquatic Center at Garfield Park, and Danville Stadium. You can read the proposed plan on danville2050.org/draft-plan. Looks like there's no obituaries today, so we'll just continue on. The next story is titled, United Way CEO Lazelle Visits Danville Lions Club. Danville's Lions Club welcomed Angie Lazelle, CEO of United Way of Danville Area, for an interview of United Way. The 2025 campaign raised $538,384.04, enabling United Way to currently fund 22 effective agencies with 28 evidence-based programs of measurable outcomes. The funded organizations and programs were selected by United Way's allocation team, who meticulously evaluate each proposal based on high-impact practices of United Way's pillars, strategic alignment, and ability to achieve meaningful results. United Way's pillars remain healthy community, improving health and well-being for all, youth opportunity, helping young people realize their full potential, financial security, building financial stability and strength, and community resiliency, addressing urgent needs today for a better tomorrow. United Way of Danville makes a lasting impact by providing meals to families, books to children, vital assistance through 211, and support to our youth. United Way serves Danville, Vermilion County in Illinois, and Fountain and Warren counties in Indiana. The network of 22 agencies whose work creates lasting change for families include A Just Your Vision, Boys and Girls Club of Danville, CASA of Vermilion County, Community Action Program of Western Indiana, Chris Healthy Aging, Vermilion County, Crosspoint Human Services, Danville, Family YMCA, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, Gateway Family Services of Illinois, Girl Scouts of Central Illinois, Food for the Children, It Takes a Village, 211 Crisis Helpline, Peer Court Incorporated, Project Success of Vermilion County, Scouting America, Survivor Resource Center, Vermilion County Child Advocacy Center, Vermilion County Pride Coalition, Women Helping Women, and WorkSource Enterprises. In May, United Way held a successful food and friendraiser, United We Cook, sponsored by many local companies. Lazelle announced that 2027 United Way of Danville area will be celebrating its 100th anniversary with plans and hopes of raising sufficient support to not only fund an annual network of local effective agencies providing evidence-based programs of measurable outcomes. In addition, efforts will be focused on creating an endowment to ensure years of providing evidence-based programs with measurable outcomes for families across our community. For more information or to get involved, visit them at 801 West Fairchild Street in Danville. Check out our website at www.unitedway.com. And then there's a picture of Angie Lazelle, CEO of United Way of Danville Area, second from the right, was a guest speaker at the Danville Lions Club on Tuesday. Joining Lazelle in a photo are from right, left to right, a life-size photo of Dolly Parton, Lazelle, Lions Club member Gene Mulvaney, a past CEO for United Way of Danville Area, and Danville Lions President Peg Morris. Next story, Autumn Fields hosts car show written, or this is in Tilton. The first ever Autumn Fields adult community Tilton car show was held on Friday, June 19th. More than 40 participants from Illiana area entered their rides into the contest. Talmer and Helen Bates of Westville won the Residents' Choice Award with their 1969 Dodge Super B. Catlin's Ed Craig claimed the Mayor's Choice Award from Tilton Mayor Bill Ware for his 1949 Ford Custom Convertible. Other award winners on Friday were Donnie Atkinson's Rick Barnes, Bill and Sandy Burton, Gene Davis, Jim Doki, Bob Drollinger, Gabe Garza, Steve and Lola Johnson, along with Bob Treadway. For more information about Autumn Fields in Tilton or Hoopston, contact Amy Thomas, Regional Marketing Director, at 217-655-2255. And there's a picture of a couple pictures earning the Residents' Choice Award at Friday's first ever Autumn Fields Adult Community Tilton Car Show was Talmer and Helen Bates, shown here receiving their trophy. Pictured from left to right are Helen Bates, Jerry Furnish, a resident, Nan Koppel, a resident, and Talmer Bates. And then there's a picture of Tilton Mayor Billy Ware on the left, presents Ed Craig of Catlin with the Mayor's Choice Award from the Autumn Fields Car Show. Next story is titled ECICAA Seeking Bids for Fire Security System Updates, and this is in Danville, written by a staff reporter. The East Central Illinois Community Action Agency, known as ECICAA, is soliciting bids from qualified contractors for the replacement and upgrade of the fire alarm and security system of our facility located at 56 North Vermillion Street in Danville. The project shall include, but is not limited to, evaluation of the existing fire system, removal and proper disposal of existing fire alarm equipment as necessary, installation of a new fire alarm control panel and associated devices in accordance with current code requirements, installation, programming, and testing of all required fire alarm components, provisions of new fire alarm control panel with built-in cellular and IP communicator for monitoring and communication purposes, system testing, inspection, and commissioning to ensure more operation and code compliance, including but not limited to the City of Danville Fire Department, training for designated ECICAA staff on the operation of the new system, submission of all applicable documentation, warranties, permits, and inspection reports. Please include the following information with your proposal: company qualifications and relevant experience, detailed scope of services to be provided, itemized project cost, estimated project timeline, warranty information, proof of licensing, insurance, and certifications required to perform the work. ECICAA reserves the right to accept or reject any and all bids, waive informalities, and award this contract in the best interest of the agency. Bids must be received on or before July 15th of 2026 and should be submitted to East Central Illinois Community Action Agency. Ms. Odette Hyatt Watson, Chief Executive Officer, East Central Illinois Community Action Agency, at 56 North Vermillion Street in Danville, Illinois, 61832. Email address is ohwatson@comaction.org, and website is www.comaction.org. Phone is 217-554-9122, and fax is 217-431-0725. Next is titled Horizon Sanders Earned State Award, and there's a picture of Melissa Sanders on the right, Risk Management Coordinator at Horizon Health, recently received the 2026 Risk Manager of the Year Award from Illinois Society of Healthcare Risk Management in East Peoria, Illinois. Also pictured is Eunice Cheney on the left, Horizon Health Chief Risk and Privacy Officer. And this is from Paris. For the second time in 3 years, a Horizon employee has been named Risk Manager of the Year by the Illinois Society of Healthcare Risk Management, known as ISHRM. Melissa Sanders, Risk Management Coordinator at Health Horizon Health, received the 2026 ISHRM Risk Manager of the Year Award during the organization's 38th annual meeting in East Peoria. In 2023, the honor was awarded to Eunice Cheney, Horizon Health Chief Risk and Privacy Officer. "I could not possibly manage my role without her," said Cheney, who nominated Sanders for the award. "Melissa has done a tremendous job keeping us on track with a variety of projects, including insurance policy renewals, department policy maintenance, and countless day-to-day responsibilities. I'm so proud of the professional she has become." Sanders is part of a twosome team responsible for risk management, privacy, and litigation matters. She serves in leadership roles on several committees throughout the organization. Since joining Horizon Health in 2008, Sanders has held positions in patient registration, rehabilitation services, and risk management. She became a member of the risk management team in 2021. A native of Paris, Sanders earned a Master's of Healthcare Administration from St. Mary of the Woods College and is certified in healthcare risk management. She serves on the ISHRM Board of Directors. We'll read through the community briefs. Danville Library host Mrs. Kate. Recording artist Mrs. Kate Carpenter will be performing her original folk songs at 10 a.m. Thursday, June 25th at the Danville Public Library at 219 North Vermilion Street in Danville. All ages are welcome and admission is free. For more information, contact Brooke Trucelli at the library at 217-477-5220, extension 111, or visit Kate's website at www.mrskate.com. DLO Theater presents 1776. DLO Musical Theater celebrates the 250 years of independence with its upcoming production of 1776 at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, June 26th and Saturday, June 27th at 2:30 on Sunday, June 28th at the Danville Masonic Temple. Presented in conjunction with the Scottish Rite Valley of Danville, 1776 puts a human face on the pages of history as we see the men behind the national icons. The Tony Award-winning musical follows John Adams of Massachusetts, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, and Thomas Jefferson of Virginia as they attempt to convince the members of the Second Continental Congress to sign the Declaration of Independence. Tickets are $23 for adults and $7 for students, children, and they can be purchased at dlomusicaltheater.com. And in the local briefs, VCCD holds workshop on dragonflies in Danville. Kennicott County Park, located at 22296 Henning Road in Danville, is hosting an Illinois Department of Natural Resources Entice workshop, Illinois Dragonflies, from 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, June 26th. Rusty Snaketail, Prince Baskettail, and Eastern Amberwing will have one thing in common, being an Illinois dragonfly. Take part in field work and lab studies as we discuss the identification, life history, and behaviors of these fascinating invertebrates, both as aquatic nymphs and as adults. This workshop is for grades 6 to 10, but can be accepted for other grades. Pre-registration is required. The cost is $11 per person, and individuals can sign up online at www.enticeworkshops.com. Experience Entice. Classroom resources, materials, and books will be provided to participants. This workshop is offered through the Entice Environmental and Nature Training Institute for Conservation Education for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Entice classes are professional development workshops for educators, both formal and non-formal, sponsored by IDNR. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, June 25th, 2026. Looks like we're going to get a little bit more rain coming in all this weekend, but not supposed to be as severe as it has been in the past, so hopefully we'll have a good week. Supposed to get up hotter next week, too, also, so make sure you're aware of that. Drink lots of water. Hope you all have a good week. Take care. See you next week. Bye.